And it's unbelievable to be able to come together and to be able to celebrate this birthday together, all that God has done over the past 13 years. And as Anthony said earlier, walking us through the introduction there, and he talked about how it doesn't matter if you've been here for a long time or if you're here for the first time, that you're part of this story. It hit me this morning as he said that the first time. It hit me that for those of you who are here this morning, for the first time, I want you to understand something. It's not just that now you're part of the story. I want you to understand, you've been part of the story from the very beginning. And the reality is that the reason that we started Hoboken Grace 13 years ago is because we wanted one day for you to be part of the story. And we wanted to be able to introduce you to the reality that God is our Heavenly Father. And it's amazing when you look at what Jesus has done. Jesus doesn't just step in and say, I want to be your Lord and Master. He says, I want for you to be part of this family where God can come alongside you as your dad, as your father. And we wanted for you to be able to experience Him coming alongside of you and taking you by the hand and helping you to understand what this whole journey, what life is all about, who He is, the incredible relationship that you can have with Him. And from the very beginning, that's what's driven this whole thing. That's what's driven everything that we do. And as a matter of fact, right now, we're in the midst of this series, if you haven't been with us for the past couple of weeks, called Making Love. And we're looking at how God does that in our lives as it pertains to relationships. How He comes alongside of us, how He takes us by the hand, and how He helps us to understand how to love better. And from the beginning of this series, we've decided that rather than trying to steal what God created for us to know and experience in relationships, rather than trying to do it our way to steal that, we're going to follow Him into that. Which means, if we're going to do that we have to focus first, not on who it is that we're going to find, but we have to focus first on who it is that we're going to become. And what it means to become love. As we built on that, we looked at the fact that this is the most valuable thing that we have to offer. This is the most valuable thing that we should look for in the lives of those around us. The ability to be able to love well. This should consume us because it is. It's the most valuable thing that we can bring into the lives of those around us. Last week, Anthony talked about how we can get better at that, how we grow in that on this journey. And then a couple weeks ago, we redefined this whole idea of faithfulness and what it really means to be faithful. It's not just about actions, it's about our affections. And next week, as we come together on Valentine's Day, we're going to be walking back through all that we've talked about and talking about how it impacts different phases of relationships. Make sure that you're here to be part of that. And I know as we've walked through this series, for some of you, you've asked, wait a second, why didn't we do this? This seems like a Valentine's series. Why didn't we do this after Valentine's? And to be honest with you, throughout the last 13 years, many times we've launched relationship series here at Hoboken Grace on Valentine's Day. But at the end of those series, almost every time someone would come up to me and say, I wish I had heard that before Valentine's Day, because I think my Valentine's Day would have been drastically different if I'd heard that weeks ago. So this year we decided to flip it up and to do the series before Valentine's Day. Hopefully it's already impacting how you're walking into that day. Whether you're someone who loves that day or someone who hates that day, I find that typically people fall on one side of that equation or the other. But as we've walked through this, we've seen these amazing ways that God is, again, reshaping the way that we think about, the way that we look at, the way that we engage love. But before we get to next week, I want to talk about one last thing, because here's the thing. If you're going to talk about making love, there's something you have to talk about. If you're going to talk about making love, you have to talk about the climax, because everything is building towards that. And make no mistake about it. Listen. What you believe the dream of love is, what you believe the pinnacle of love is, what you believe the climax of relationships are, it changes everything. It impacts the entire journey. What you believe the dream is. One of the things that I tell couples every time I officiate a wedding, or almost every time I officiate a wedding, is I tell them, I say, I love weddings. And typically people will say, oh, you love weddings because of the dancing. You love weddings because of being around all the people. If you know me, you know that's not why I love weddings. But what I do love about weddings, and it usually surprises them when I say it, because I say what I love about weddings is the potential. Now, they don't typically think about weddings in terms of potential, because most of the time when a couple gets to the wedding, they think, okay, we've hit the pinnacle. This is the peak. This is as good as it gets. And I tell them, listen, if that's what you think, if that's how you're walking into this day, you're in trouble. And you have sold yourself so far short of what's possible, because this is not in any way, shape, or form the pinnacle or the peak. This is just the beginning. And there's something so much greater in store in the future if you have the right dream. Because if the dream was just the wedding, well, that's not a celebration, that's a tragedy. And make no mistake about it, there are plenty of couples where that's the dream. And because that's the dream, everything that follows, well, it doesn't build up, it falls apart. The dream that you have, what you believe is the ultimate dream, what you believe is the pinnacle, it matters. It matters. And make no mistake about it. Listen to me. The world that you live in, the culture that you live in, the world around us, is trying to sell you a dream. It's trying to sell you a vision. It's trying to sell you something that they say, okay, this is the peak. This is as good as it gets. This is what you should pursue. This is what you should want. This is what you should long for. This is what you should work for. It's all around us. Every time you turn around, you're confronted with it. And it comes in different shapes and sizes, and it comes with different messaging, but it's everywhere. And the world has said, no, this is as good as relationships get. This is what you should want. For some of you, it looks like this. Now, some of you know who this is. Some of you don't. I didn't know who this was. I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to come clean. But recently here at Hoboken Grace, we've begun to bring in college interns. So I've realized, well, if I'm going to stay relevant, I got to talk to them. So I went and asked them. I said, well, who's the hot young couple? And they said, well, this is the hot young couple, even though they're kind of on again, off again. If you know anything about them, and some of you know their story, and they're just best friends right now, but we'll see how that works out. And you look at this and say, okay, this is, now for some of you, you don't connect with this one so much. For you, it looks more like this. And this is it, right? Without the mustache. It's disturbing, I'll be honest with you. But then I also know that for some of you, you look at that, you understand you're not cool. That you understand that. And you're not so young anymore. So it's not so much this for you. Now it looks something like this. Yeah? Yeah? And so you're trying to figure out like what to do with the grays, and you're really hoping that you're gonna be able to pull them off like this. You're not going to be able to, but you're really hoping that you'll be able to. And it looks like this. But listen. The world around us is presenting us with a dream, with a vision, and saying, no, this is it. This is what you long, this is what it looks like. And you have the really attractive young wife, hot wife, and you've got like the middle-aged man who's still attractive, even though he's middle-aged. And this is it. This is what you're working for. This is what you're longing for. And it's the money and it's the status. And look at us. And look at what we have. And I know. For some of you, you're hearing say, no, I understand. I'm not going to be George Clooney. Yes, I understand. You understand you're not going to be George Clooney. But you are working to be the best you that you can be, like him. I know I'm never going to be able to be him, but I'm going to be as much like him with what I have as possible. And the world accepts it and says, okay, this is the dream. This is the vision. And make no mistake about it. Listen. Make no mistake about it. Our world spends their life chasing this. Even when this is long past. And your vision, well, your vision impacts what you believe the dream is. It impacts everything. It impacts what you spend your money on. The amount of money that's spent in our culture and in our country to look like this is phenomenal. Because this is the dream. It impacts what we invest in. It impacts what we spend our time on. It impacts who we pursue. It impacts how we value the one that we're with. It impacts the entire journey. And I'm aware of the fact that some of you are going to be here and say, no, that doesn't impact me. Yes, it does. Listen. Whenever you think that the culture isn't impacting you, you are in a dangerous place. It is impacting you, and if you're not aware of how it's impacting you, it's probably impacting you more than you could possibly know. Which is why we have to do the work of identifying, okay, how is what the vision of the world is sharing, how is that impacting my vision? And make no mistake about it, your vision of what the ultimate of relationships is, of what the dream is, it impacts you. And it will shape you, and it will shape what it is that you pursue. So let me ask you, because here's the thing. I think for many of us, we haven't put a lot of time into this. We haven't put a lot of thought into this. We have it, and it lives in the back of our mind, even though it's not really defined for us yet. Let me ask you, what is that dream? What is it that, what is the image, what is the picture that you look towards? Think about it this way. If you were to come to the end of your journey, and you were to put one picture on the mantle, what would it be? What would it be? You may not have thought through it yet, but I'm telling you, it impacts you. It impacts every decision that you make as it pertains to the relationships that you either are in or the relationships that you want. What's your dream? The world has come to us with their dream. But then, God steps in and says, no. The young couple, the power couple, that climax is way too early. That dream is way too early. And he presents us with a different dream. Let me take you to the point in Proverbs where he talks about it. And then we're going to jump over to something that Paul says that's really powerful. In Proverbs chapter 4, sorry, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6, it says this. It says, children's children are a crown to the age, and parents are the pride of their children. He says, I want to talk to you about what the ultimate, the crown, when you look at, okay, coming to the end of this, what is the crown? What is the glory? And he doesn't talk about when they're young. He actually talks about, I want you to understand something. Grandchildren, he speaks here about grandchildren. He says, I want you to understand, this is the dream. Not the power couple, not, okay, what am I going to achieve? What am I going to hold on to as far as looking young and being successful? And he says, no. It's about the people that you're going to impact. It's about, and he specifically talks about grandchildren. He's talking about a legacy of love. He says the dream is not what the world's selling you on. He says, no, the dream is a legacy of love. Not just the people that you're impacting, but the people that they then are able to impact. It's a generational impact of love. Now, when I say that, I understand that some of you think that you're disqualified from this other picture. This picture, this dream, this a different dream. I understand for some of you, you think, well, if I'm going to experience that, well, I'm going to have to get married. And if I'm going to experience that, well, then I'm going to have kids. And some of you think, well, I'm disqualified from this dream because I'm not married, or I'm disqualified from this dream because maybe you can't have kids. But listen to how Paul talks about this as he's writing to the church at Thessalonica. Because as he writes to the church at Thessalonica, he uses the very same terminology. He uses the very same terminology as the writer of Proverbs. And he talks about the dream, and he talks about the glory and the crown, what it is that you should be working for, what it is that he's working for, what it is that he longs for. But listen to how he says it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory?" He uses the same terminology. He uses the same terminology. He says, this is the crown. This is what I'm longing for. This is the picture that I want on the mantle. What is it? What is that? What is that hope, joy, crown in the presence of our Lord and Jesus when he comes? Listen to what he says. He says, "Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy." Paul steps into this, and I love how he uses this very same terminology that the writer of Proverbs does, because the writer of Proverbs is like, no, it's generation, the goal, the crown, the joy, it's generational impact. It's a legacy of love. And Paul comes along and says, no, you are that legacy for us. Now pay attention to this, because listen, for those of you who aren't married, and for those of you who can't have kids, Paul was not married. And Paul never had kids. But Paul didn't see that as something that kept him from the dream that God had of what it was that he could experience in relationships. He didn't see that as keeping him from the vision that God had of a legacy of love, of a generational impact when it comes to love, which is why he said, no, my crown of joy, it's not part of something that's in my immediate family. It's something that's happening in my spiritual family. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. Jesus gave his life for you to know family. You do not need to get married to experience family. You do not need to have kids to experience family. And one of the things that's so powerful about this service is that as you look around the service, you see all these orange shirts. It's individuals who've decided, no, I'm going to be incredibly significant in God's family. I'm going to invest in the little ones who are part of our family. It's interesting today as we come together on our 13th birthday, as we were talking through this, and as I was speaking in the last service, it hit me that there was an individual who was part of that service that has so powerfully lived this out, because since the beginning of Hoboken Grace, it has been Anna and I, we're the only two left from the beginning except for one other person. And that person, for the last 13 years, has invested in the little ones who are part of our family. And from the beginning, Stephanie decided, no, I don't have to be married to live this. And I don't have to have kids to live this. And one of the most amazing things is that you could go upstairs to our kids' area, and you could start at fifth grade. You could actually go one step beyond that and start at sixth grade and work your way down through each and every one of those kids. And she has impacted every single one. That's a picture to put on your mantle. That's a legacy of love. And God says, I want you to understand something when it comes to relationships. That's the dream. The dream isn't that you'll be able to hold on to your youth. The dream isn't that you'll have the status and everyone look at you, oh, wow, look at them. He said, no, that's not the dream. You'll somehow be able to stay young. It's not the dream. The dream is actually that you embrace the journey of aging and the reality of the generational handoff. You'll embrace growth and development and becoming love so that you can hand it off to someone else who can hand it off to someone else. That you can look back at the end of it and know that you have a legacy of love. But there's not just one, but that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are different, whose lives are different, who love differently because of how you love them. God says, don't buy into the wrong dream. That's not even close to the pinnacle of how good it can get, of what it can be, of what it can look like. And make no mistake about it. Listen to me. What that dream is, it shapes us. This is why, as the scriptures talk to us about how we transform our lives, about how we engage this journey, the scriptures don't just talk about what we do. It talks about what we think. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 23. It's talking about who we hang out with. But in the midst of that, he shares this really powerful principle. He says, do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies. And then he says this really powerful principle. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He's talking about who it is that we are companions with. And he says, I want you to understand something. For someone who has that selfish mindset, who thinks that way about, he says, it doesn't just impact what he thinks. It actually impacts who it is that he becomes. Which is also why in Romans chapter 12, when God says, okay, I don't want for you to conform to this world. I want for you to live the life that I'm calling you to. And he doesn't just say, so you need to change what you do. Listen to what he says. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, how is it that we make sure that we're not conformed to this world? And he's talking here that we don't buy into the dream of this world, that we don't buy into their vision of what this is supposed to look like. Well, how do you do that? You have to change what you think. You have to change that vision. You have to take captive what it is that consumes your thoughts. So you have to renew your mind. It's not just in these two passages. It's all throughout the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 4, above all else, guard your heart, for is a wellspring of life. He says, no, what's inside is going to come outside. It works its way out. Romans chapter 8, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. You have to pay attention to what it is that you think, not just what you do, what that vision is. And so let me ask you again, what is your vision? What is it, that ultimate picture that you want to be on that mantle place? What is your vision? And you need to do the work on this, because some of you say, I don't really know. I've never really thought about it. If you don't shape your vision, if you don't intentionally shape your vision, it will be shaped for you. As a matter of fact, many of you are living, as you engage your journey, you're living and pursuing a vision that was shaped by your father. And something that your father told you that he expected of you, or something that your father maybe told you you couldn't do, has shaped the entire vision for your life. Or maybe it's not something that your father said to you. Maybe it's something that another kid said to you, or that other kids told you as you were growing up. It's unbelievable to me when I think back about all the different things when I was younger that have impacted me. And just before we get there really quickly, some of you this morning saw all of the staff, like the pictures of them when they were 13 years old. Did you guys see that on social media? Some of you may have seen that. If not, go out and check it out afterwards. Well, the staff was really upset because there was no picture of me on there. And to be honest with you, I reached out to my mom to get it, but she just didn't send it back to me until actually, I think yesterday she sent it to my wife. And I thought it only fair to let you see, okay, yes, this is me at the age of 13. My son saw this morning and was incredibly embarrassed. And he's like, Dad, what's on your neck? And why are you wearing white jeans? Who wears white jeans? I said, everybody wore white jeans. I was incredibly cool, Caden. I just wanted to admit, and he's like, what is on your neck? I said, turtlenecks are awesome. Is anyone with me on that? Like, I think turtlenecks are awesome. Yeah, but the only person who can pull it off in today's culture is Tom Brady. As a matter of fact, he'll probably wear one today. I'm really hoping they come back at one point, but they haven't yet. But it's amazing to me how many things that were said to this individual that still impact me today. That shaped my vision of who it was that I was going to become and what it was that I was going to pursue. One of the things that drives me crazy is that when I was a senior in high school, you know, as seniors, you vote for all these different things about people in your class. And inside my class, I was voted as the most likely to succeed. Do you know how many times I think about whether or not I'm living up to that? That is so stupid. It is completely meaningless. And yet, for some reason, I give it all of this weight in my life that I'm supposed to be living up to, and I need to. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Have you ever sat there and thought that? Like, what is wrong with me that these voices keep impacting my vision of who it is that I'm going to become? Listen, if you don't intentionally shape your vision, it will be shaped for you by someone or something else. And then it will shape you. And who it is that you're becoming and where it is that you're going. So let me ask you, what is it that you believe the dream is? It's so important. If you buy into the world's dream, it's going to drastically impact who it is that you pursue. And how attractive they are, and their status or their wealth, how cool they are. All these things are going to be incredibly important, even though they have almost no impact on whether you'll be able to build a legacy of love. Some of them might even work against it. When you buy into God's vision, all of a sudden, it becomes most important whether or not they are investing in those around them and not just themselves. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and they were talking about who they were pursuing, and I actually asked them this question because I was preparing for this message, so I wanted to have a good illustration. And as we were talking, I said, well, you know, how are they at loving? And they said, well, we've only been together a couple months. I'm not really sure that I know the answer to that question. And I said, well, have you invited them to serve with you? And they said, no, we're not at that point yet. We're not at that point yet. If this is the dream and this is the vision, it isn't something you find out in month 9. And for a lot of us, we're really busy finding out all these things, but we haven't done anything to find out about this. And for some of you, you're pursuing someone who's going to give you the wedding, but they're not actually someone who can help you build a marriage that leaves a legacy of love. It impacts who you pursue. It impacts what you expect of the one that you're with. and whether you expect them to live up to this. And it's not always attraction. Sometimes it's a way of life. And over the past 13 years, I've had conversation after conversation with individuals who said, no, I just want a different way of life, and he can't give that to me. It impacts what you value, what you expect of your spouse. It impacts when you trade in your spouse. It impacts the way that we raise our kids. It drastically impacts how you respond when your kid accidentally dents your car. Because when you buy into this vision, well, it impacts the way that you look. Or is it maybe an opportunity to teach them about what love looks like and what love values? You see, none of us get to escape this. Because as I said earlier, the world's vision, it impacts all of us. None of us get to escape this. But God as our Father has come alongside and said, whoa, no. That's not even close to the dream. This is the dream. But we have to shift our vision. And my dream for you is not that at the end you'll put up your wedding day photo on that mantle. Listen to me. If your wedding day is the highlight of your life when you come to the end, you've fallen short. My dream is not that would be the photo. My dream, and I believe God's dream, is that it will be a photo. Maybe those who are part of your immediate family, maybe those who are part of your extended family, maybe those who are part of your spiritual family. Put a picture of all of those that not only have you been able to love, but because of how you love them, they love different. My dream is that would be the picture on the mantle. That you would know the dream of a legacy of love. Will you pray with me? Father, the world so often wants for us to settle for something less. And again, for us to climb over that wall and steal the joy that you have for us in relationships, but rather than following you into it, try to get it our own way. And yet we know that joy is nothing. It's a shadow. It's nothing compared to what you have for us. I pray for those who are here today and are struggling with the fact that they're single or struggling with the fact that they can't have children. I pray that they would know the joy that Paul knew, that no, this doesn't keep me from this. The joy that you brought us into this family together, that it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter where we've been, what our circumstance is, what our situation is, what our relationship status is, that no, we can experience this. And we can know this, and we can come to the end of it, and we can see that picture. Because we followed you into it. In Jesus' name.